This, of course, is the icing on the cake of the book of Romans, you might say. It's the pinnacle point. Romans chapter 8 has been a blessing as we've studied it. And probably tonight, looking at verse 28, it's one of the most familiar verses of the entire chapter. And that being the case, a lot of times people think, well, you know, I'll just... I know what the Bible says, Romans 8:28. I can even quote it. And we know that all things work together for good, then love God, and they're called according to His purpose. Okay, I got it, you know. Do you realize that we are talking about the eternal, inexhaustible Word of God? Have you ever taken John 3:16 and emphasized and meditated and thought on each different word? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Thought about God, who He is. And then, for God so loved the world, the extent of His love. And then the type of His love. For God so loved the world. I mean, you can spend a long time just chewing. Have you ever eaten a steak and after you carve it as close as you can, if you're at home? If you've ever taken that bone and gnawed on that bone? Don't raise your hand. I've done it, you know. And then when you're done with it and you think you clean it off all that you can, you give it to Fido, and boy, he has a time with it and gets even more off of it. Folks, listen, there's a whole lot on the Word of God, a lot of meat on the Word of God, and it's hanging low for us and for us to just reach out and to take it. Let's look, please, at verse number 28 through verse number 30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Last night I came in late to the house and I had the privilege of picking up my sister at the airport. And we talked on the way home and seems like the family can just kind of pick up where you leave off, you know, and that kind of thing. And it's a marvelous thing. And enjoyed that time with her. Got in and... as my habit is, whenever I get in, I tend to gravitate to the refrigerator. I don't know why. I just want to say hi, you know. And you know, as a teenage boy, I developed that habit, and I've carried it the rest of my life. And I wasn't really even terribly hungry, but you know, I was just looking to see if anything new was in there. And sure enough, I opened up the door and there was something I didn't recognize. There's something new. There's a Tupperware thing and there was something in there that looked interesting. It's something that looked stacked in there. I thought, what is that? And so I pulled it out and opened it up. And you know what it was? It was cantaloupe. Cantaloupe from did you cut up cantaloupe? Oh, well, Melody must have done that, bless her heart. Okay. Well, I did not know that. I need to thank her. It was what? Or she bought it. No. She cut this up. Yeah. It's kind of smacked of. And so anyway, so I got it and I took it and had the rind on it and cut it in half, you know, and all that kind of thing. And you just put and took a bite. And oh, it was that sweet cantaloupe. It was a kind that didn't crunch. I hate it when cantaloupe crunches. I like it when it runs down, you know, and you have to, while you bite it, you know. You have to slurp it while you bite it. And, you know, I thought, I'm going to put some poison on this. I put two kinds of poison on it. I still lived. Did you know that sodium is poisonous? Did you know that chloride is poisonous, but you put them together and you've got table salt. And just a little dab of table salt on that, and boy, it just sparks up that flavor and all that. We have to have some amount of salt in our body, you know, in order to live. And so I want to live, so I put a little bit of salt on there. Listen, folks, God knows what to put into our life to make us into the image of Christ. That is the goal. That is His purpose. And we're going to see that in this passage. And I hope to kind of help with God's direction of His Holy Spirit, want to guide us away from some pitfalls of this verse. Some things that might cast doubt upon the nature of our Heavenly Father. And so let's go to Him in prayer and ask for His wisdom and ask for His guidance, and so that we can leave out of here with greater faith and a greater desire to serve Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, now, thank You for this passage. Help us as we look into it. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would speak. Lord, speak through these lips of clay. Lord, direct my heart and my thoughts. Lord, may it be, Lord, pleasing unto Thee. And Lord, may I pray that You would speak to hearts. And it might not be even something that I say. There have been so many times I have sat during preaching services, and Lord, You've given me something as the Word of God was being preached that wasn't even stated from the pulpit. And it came from You. Lord, You do that. You be the preacher tonight. And Lord, I thank You for what You're going to do. Bless, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Throughout our study in the book of Romans, we've discovered that we can have victory over sin. We've discovered that we can have victory over Satan. We've discovered that we can have victory over self. But you know what else we need? We need victory over situations. Victory over circumstances. And this is what this passage is reminding us. You ask someone, hey, how you doing? All pretty good under the circumstances. Well, if you're a Christian, what are we doing under the circumstances? Now, the Apostle Paul knew what it was like to suffer. He wasn't one of these health and wealth preachers. I mean, he had been beaten. He had been stoned and left for dead. He had been lied about. He had been all these things. And he finally gave his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's not trying to present something that if you walk with God and if you worship the Lord and if you strive to be like Christ, that you're not going to have difficulties. Everything's going to be wonderful. No, no, no. But he is saying that in the midst of circumstances, that God wants us to have victory over those circumstances. I'd like to lay three thoughts upon your heart here tonight. And if you want to jot these down, the first one is this, that God's faithful promise, that God is faithful in His promises to us. And I want to remind you that verse 28 is a promise. Verse 28 says, and we know, this word know is that of certainty. It's not something that you have to grow in your knowledge of. It's something that is absolute, that God gives to us. And we know that all things work together for good. In Genesis, we read about a 17-year-old young man named Joseph. Joseph, God, I believe, brought the Midianites, those marauders, those people that came and carried him off to Egypt and sold him as a slave. God superintended that to happen. Was that a good thing? No, it was not a good thing. Was it a good thing that his brothers turned on him and treated him like an enemy? No, that is not good. This world is filled with things that are not good. Wickedness in our world, rape and murder and crime and all these kinds of things, abortion, these things are not good. There's no way that you can say that any of that is good. But God has the capability that He can overrule the sin and the wickedness of man, and He can blend it together just as sodium and chloride is blended together and it is used in something to be good for us. I don't like raw flour. I don't eat raw sugar. I don't usually eat much butter. But you take all of those and raw shortening and that kind of thing. You put all that together in the right consistency. You give me a call when you bake that cake and you pull it out of the oven. I'll help you with it. I like that. And I don't like a lot of the things that happen in our lives. I don't like that. And neither do you. But this verse tells us that we know that all things work together for good. Notice a little pronoun is missing that we like to add in there. We like to add in the little pronoun our good. And we know that all things work together for our good. We want it to be about us, don't we? Lord, now, how are you going to make this for my good? Okay, I had a flat tire. And so does that mean that tires are going to be on sale this week? Thank you, Lord, you know, for the flat tire. But maybe tires aren't on sale that week. How are you going to make this for my good? Now, there's something I think to be a help to us in this thought of a faithful promise. You see, Genesis 50, verse 20, when Joseph, whenever he came full circle and he did not go against God, did not get angry at God, did not shake his fist in the face of God. The Bible says in Genesis 50, verse 20, as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Notice that Joseph did not say it was for my good. It was for good. It was for good. Okay, so there's a little clarification there. Little clarification. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His promise. A faithful promise. Now, since my sister is here, I'm going to mention this. I may have shared this once before, but it bears repeating. God sees everything from eternity past through eternity future. He sees it all. Because He sees it, that does not mean He determines it. Okay? He doesn't determine it. He doesn't make it to happen in all the choices of man. We have a free will, and yet God is sovereign. How do we balance that? Before I get to my illustration, let me share this. Has anyone ever seen a parade except on TV? Have you actually physically been to like a Rose Bowl parade or Orange Bowl parade or anybody been to a big parade like that? Okay, some of you have. All right. For the rest of us, we've sat on our sofa, on our chair at home, and we've seen it from all the different vantage points and things. But if you are seated there watching that parade go through, you'll see a Marine band go through, you'll see a high school band, you'll see a float, you'll see some kind of floating thing, you know, a helium balloon go by, and you're wondering, okay, what's next? What's next? What's next? And all you can see is just a small part. But if you get in a very tall building, like in New York, or maybe on a blimp or some kind of helicopter or something, you can see the very first group, the very first of the parade, and you can see all the way to the very end of the parade. You have the full scope. And that is what God sees. And just because God sees it doesn't mean that God makes it to happen. And we're going to deal with that. But in that He sees it, He does take care of His people. I was just a boy, probably about 5 years of age. And my father was teaching Kim how to drive. And somehow he did not make clear enough whenever she was driving about putting that one foot off of the left foot off the side and just using the right foot, that kind of thing. Well, this was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. My sister's driving the car. I thought, man, so I went and got a chair off the porch and I brought it up to he was using my grandfather's church parking lot to have her drive around in. So I sat under the tree in the grass right on the edge. I want a front row seat. And so I sat there and I was just by myself, and I thought that was a good thing. You know, I'm not causing trouble. I'm just sitting there. I'm just watching. I think this is cool. And I want to see it all happen, not miss a thing. And something took place there in the car, and she began to go for the brake, and she pressed the brake with her left foot, and then she still had her foot on the gas and somehow did both, and it all happened so quickly. It all happened so quickly that my father did not have time to reach over and to stop her. And the engine took over the brakes, you know, and as panic struck, you know, she just hit both pretty strong. And you know where that car went? That car went right at that chair. Right at that chair. Of all the places it could have gone, went right at that chair. Now my sister loves me. She wasn't going after me. Okay? But it went right for that chair. Now, the good news is, my grandmother was in the kitchen, and she was cleaning and doing some dishes and things, and she looked out the kitchen window, and while this is going on, and she's driving around the parking lot, she looks out the window, and she says, "Mark, you get in here right now. I don't want you out there." She's out there driving. I don't want you out there, you know. And I did not get in the house until, boom, I heard something and came around. You tell me that God's providence doesn't watch over, and He sees, and we'll see that in a few moments. We'll see that, because you can't read verse 28 without verse 29. God's faithful promise. And then we see His focused purpose. The Bible says in verse 29, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Not only is there a faithful promise from God, but there's also a focused purpose from God. The word "for" there in verse 29 is a conjunction, and it takes the hand of verse 28 and takes the hand of verse 29, and it joins them together. That's what a conjunction does. And so this thought that for those who love, by the way, unsaved people can't claim verse 28. Unsaved is for those that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." Preacher, do you believe in predestination? I certainly do. Absolutely. In the Word of God, predestination always applies to the saved. It always applies to the saved. We don't find the thought of predestination applying to the lost. In other words, what I'm saying is this: God does not plan people to go to hell. God did not create people to go to hell. God did not intend people to go to hell. This is against His nature. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." He will have all men to be saved. Now, either that's true or it's false. Either it's true or it's a lie. 1 John 2, 2 says, "And He is propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world." And so Professor Mossback and Dr. Longnose wants to try to teach people that God has predestined someone to go to hell, they're going against the Word of God. I'm sorry. I just want to be very clear about what God teaches. But the Bible does say that He does predestinate the saved. Say, well, how does he do that? How is it that people have a free choice, but yet God predestines them? Well, you'd have to know the mind of God and understand the sovereignty of God. My friend, we are finite beings, and there's some things we're not going to fully grasp. But it's still nice to swim out there in the deep water. One man put it this way. He said, God doesn't bring us into the deep water to drown us. He brings us into the deep water to cleanse us. It's the kiddie pool is a great place to be. It's kind of safe and the shallow water. But occasionally it's good to dig into the deep end. And it's marvelous. But even Vance Havner said this. when referring to this thought of predestination and these things of God, he said, you know, I don't understand everything about electricity, but I don't want to sit in the dark until I do. So there's some things we're going to have to trust God about. We're going to trust what the Bible has to say. And so let's look at this, please. In verse 29, the Bible says, for whom he did foreknow, that's seeing that on April 10th, 1970, that Mark Sears trusted Christ as his Savior. And so whom he did foreknow that that was going to take place, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Here's what happened. Here's what happened. When Adam and Eve sinned, you have to remember that God made man, made Adam, in whose image? In the image of God created he them. Okay? When they sinned, sin marred that image. Sin defaced God's creation. It warped it and perverted God's creation. And so when a person trusts Christ as their Savior, then the purpose in the mind and heart of God is that that person will become more and more and more like Jesus Christ. And we see that described. To the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He thinks ahead, plans ahead on our benefit, on our behalf. And so God may move upon a preacher's heart to give you what you're going to need tomorrow. That's why I tell people, I say, you know, those of you who think you don't need to come to church, those of you who don't think that you need to be in God's house worshiping, this is the greatest place to be. This is where God can move the most. Can God direct in other circumstances? Yes, he certainly can. But God's promised to work through his word and to work through his people and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when you're sitting here and you're saying, God, I want to hear from you. And maybe it wasn't something that was said in the message. As I said, maybe it's something that God just, bing, he revealed to you as you're sitting there listening. Because you're where you're supposed to be, where you're honoring and worshiping Jesus Christ. And God sees that you need that. Acts 15, verse 18 says, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Henry Ford, the great car maker, the Model T Ford that he made, he decided to outsource the transmission. And they did not actually make that transmission. So he found other companies to bid on that. And part of the bid was this. He said, when you ship the transmission to me, if you're going to win this bid, then I want you to ship it in a carton made a certain way. I want it made out of certain constructed wood. I want it certain dimensions. I want the fastening holes in certain places, and I'll send you schematics for the crate that you put the transmission in. They thought, this is so ridiculous. The, you know, old man Ford, he's really lost his brain. You know, it's just the thing that we're shipping it in. He said, well, if you want the bid, if you want us to buy the transmission from you, you will do as I say. And so there was one company that said, yes, okay, I'll give you the best bid and I'll do the crate the way you say, whatever, you know, whatever you want, just so we get the business. And they did. And sure enough, when those transmissions were shipped, then he had his employees, Henry Ford had his employees, to carefully open up those crates. And as they opened up those crates, then they would, you know what they used those for? They used those for the floorboards of his truck. And the mounting holes and everything that he told him to drill at a certain point, they were all in place. They were all there. He didn't have to pay for it. He didn't have to prepare it. It made it easier on them. He had the forethought to see that that could be done. My friend, that's just a human being. We're talking about the omniscient, loving God that sees our life from beginning to end. He brings people across our path. He brings radio broadcasts. He brings folks to encourage you along life's way. A Sunday school teacher to buoy you up with strength and to seek after God and to come on Thursday night and to bring grandkids to hear the Word of God as they're preparing to for their program on Sunday night on the 25th. A marvelous time. God works all things together for our good, so that we will become more like the image of Jesus Christ. They say that a sculptor, they say that they chip away everything that doesn't look like the image that they're trying to portray. They chip away. And you know, that's what God is doing in our life. Chipping away things that don't belong, that don't look like the Lord. My life is but a weaving between my God and me. I cannot choose the colors He weaveth steadily. Oft times He weaveth sorrows, and I in foolish pride forget He sees the upper, and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly will God unroll the canvas and reveal the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern He has planned. He knows, He loves, He cares. Nothing this truth can dim. He gives the very best to those who leave the choice to Him. That was made famous by Corrie Ten Boom. In case you don't know Corrie Ten Boom, she was held in Nazi prisons and things for helping the Jews. By the way, we better be serious about praying for our nation. Better be serious about praying for our nation. The Jews are coming back into front page as far as America is concerned. And if America turns its back or turns its guns or attacks on Israel, we're done for. The Bible goes on to say in verse number 30, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. And justified, them He also glorified. Five steps in making us like Christ. You see, he foreknows us. He sees us. This is the same word from where we get the word prognosis. For whom He did foreknow. It's the same word. And He did predestinate. He makes sure. Now, let's see, who was it? Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this. When describing the sovereignty of God and the free will of man, he said, imagine it this way. And by the way, there is no excellent illustration to give something that's eternal and to describe the nature of God and the sight of God. There's no way that we can kind of get kind of close on some things. But imagine with me that there's a doorway here. And come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And whatever invitation that you want to place upon on the outside of that door and plaster that on the outside of that door. And God gets a hold of a sinner's heart and they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the door. That's what He said. And so we enter through Jesus Christ and we go through that doorway and we turn around and we look. Ye have been chosen from the foundation of the world. Say, well, that's pretty simplistic. Yeah, that's about all that our brains can handle. But understand this. Never accept for one moment the unbiblical approach that God predestines people to hell. God predestines us as Christians to be like Christ. And it's going to happen. And He works on us down here. He works on us down here. And the Bible says in verse 30, He ends, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Let's go back to our little story about the parade, okay? You'll find here in this passage, in verse number 30, you'll find that every word here is in past tense. For whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate. And He called and justified and glorified. Those are past tense words. In the mind of God, He sees it all. It's as if we're already, the Bible says, in the heavenlies. Seated with Christ in the heavenlies. He sees the parade from beginning to end. It's already happened in his mind. And so that's why he can say, this is going to take place. You're going to be like Jesus. Why should we fight him down here? Why should we fight him? Why not let him chip away and use the things that happen in our life instead of saying, God, now please stop this. We've found opportunities that God moves in our life and we say, God, I don't understand. Please stop. Please stop. A clay vessel can sit out in the sun for weeks and still be a clay vessel. But if it goes in the white heat of the oven, it can be turned to porcelain. And we know that all things work together for good. According to his purpose, what is his purpose? To make us more like Jesus Christ. It's not something that we say, okay, it's something for our good. Well, ultimately it is for our good, for God's glory. So that we can bring glory to Jesus Christ, so that we can be like him and receive the image that God created us to have. And we're going to have that one day. But why not allow a little bit of heaven into our life down here? Why not have more of Jesus showing through us down here? That's what the Apostle Paul was getting at in this passage. So this is not something to just throw in the face of God. I don't see how this could be good. I don't see how you can make any of this good. God, stop this. You realize that God just might grant our request. Whenever he intended it to carve something away from us that did not look like and did not bring glory to Jesus Christ. And he said, trust me on this. Trust me. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I was playing basketball in junior high school. And as I was playing, I had something happen that had never happened to me as a kid growing up. Never had a problem with it. And I don't want to gross you out, but I had ingrown toenail on both big toes. And I'll tell you, it was the type of thing that when I went up for a rebound and I came down and someone landed on my feet. Oh, man, it was bad. And I won't go any farther than that. It was bad. And I went through lots of socks, you know, which is a bad deal. And finally, for fear of infection and that kind of thing, my mother took me to the doctor. And he looked at my big toes and he said, wow, we got to do something about that. And my mom was in the doctor's office there with me. I was, as I recall, I was probably in seventh grade. And I thought, this guy's really pretty high tech. He took an aerosol can and he sprayed that on my toe. And that was supposed to be the painkiller. And then he got out those scissors and he went to town. And when I saw what he was going to do, I looked at my mom and said, give me a pencil. Give me something. She gave me a pencil. I bit down on that pencil and he went into areas he shouldn't have been in with that thing. And I'm telling you what, I just felt like I was just about ready to pass out. It had to happen. It had to come out of there. It was for my best. And it healed up. And it was better. I would not want to go through that again, I'll be honest with you. But it was for my good. God will bring things into each of our lives. And that illustration pales into comparison with the heartache that happens when someone has to say goodbye on this side of glory to a child or to a loved one or a home that's ripped in two. and all the things that happen in people's lives, but the most terrible things that can happen in each of our lives, the Bible says a faithful promise is that He can make that to make us more like Jesus. Because God's intended that it's going to take place, and He's in charge of that, and one day we are going to be just like Him. Wouldn't it be great for God to just put the finishing touches at the rapture? Because we've allowed Him to do so much in our heart and our life before He called us home. There was just the finishing touches here and there. Wouldn't it be great? It's trusting the Master, trusting the Creator, to give us victory over the circumstances that we believe He's in charge of. The victory over the situations of life. Heavenly Father, I pray now that You would guide and direct us. Lord, help us to acknowledge Your presence, Your love, Your watch care. Lord, You don't want the worst for us. You want the very best for us. We're dear children in Your eyes. And Lord Jesus, I pray that we'll look into the mirror of Your Word. And Lord, that we will see the image that we should be and the image that we are. And that we will not fight against You. Lord, I pray now for those that are hurting tonight. I pray that You would bring healing. I pray that they would sense Your love. And I pray, God, that they would once again say, Lord, take this lump of clay. And Lord, put me back on the potter's wheel. And Lord, You take out of me anything that's impure. And I'm going to trust You to mold me and shape me into the image of Christ. In His wonderful name we pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight. We'll not have an invitation to have people come forward. But I wonder who would say, Preacher, God is dealing with me right now. I sense His hands upon me, and it's not pleasant at times, I'll be honest with you. There are some things that I'm repulsed by. But I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to ask Him for new grace. I know He loves me. I know He wants the best for me. So I'm going to trust Him to bring good out of bad situations. If that's your testimony, if that's your heart, what's going on, with no one looking around, would you slip your hand up and take it right back down? Yes, God bless you. Yes, 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 God bless you. Heavenly Father, You've seen these hands. I pray that You'd minister to the hearts. And Lord, You would give us, as You give us victory over sin, Satan, and self, Lord, give us victory over circumstances, I pray. In Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Let's stand together.